Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
It is a time for another edition of SC Wild from DNR here on Sports Talk, on the Sports Talk Media Network with Major Billy Downer. Good to have him back in South Carolina. Good to have him back with us on the program. Major, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight, Phil?
Man, we're doing fantastic. Let me tell folks that if they want to reach out to you with a comment or a question or an observation, something that they've seen in the outdoors around South Carolina, something that they have a question about DNR and the way things are done, then give us a call. That phone number is 888-898-2525. We'll put you right in touch with Major Downer, who answers all questions and shares everything he knows about everything. So I'll begin things by noting that if I read this correctly, we have the end of alligator season in South Carolina coming up this Sunday. Is that correct?
Saturday, yep, that's right. It goes Saturday to Saturday, that's correct. So alligator season it starts that Saturday, in September, and goes through the Saturday in October. They try to do that so that people can't or won't forget it. The second Saturday in October, which is this Saturday. So, mm-hmm. Actually, that's not this Saturday, it's another week. So it runs through the 14th this year. But, yes, it will be ending before our next show.
Gotcha. So not this Saturday. It's the following Saturday. Why is it so limited? Why is it just a month-long period? Is it because they don't want to have overkill? They don't want to overdo it?
Yes, so there's a lot of reasons for that. So, number one, it's the best time to have people hunting alligators. This time of year is not as many people on the water. Because some places people alligator hunt, there are people recreating, fishing, that kind of thing. So it's just a better time to do it as far as after the summer. Also, it cools off a little bit. As it starts getting cooler like it is now, alligator activity is going to slow down a little bit. They're still active, but not near as active as they are in the hot summer months. But it's really based around the best time to do it and just a lack of activity by other recreation on the water. So it makes it safer.
What kind of reports are you getting regarding the season so far in terms of numbers, size? I read one story where your folks down there, I'm trying to remember, you've mentioned them before, the people who process gators, is it Courtney?
301 Deer Processing or Cadres, yeah.
Cadres. Those, and they had an 11-foot,
right.
They had an 11-foot gator, and they opened his mouth, and they found embedded in his bottom jaw a 3-point antler that, yeah. Did you read that story?
I did not, but nothing surprises me from that standpoint as far as, you know, things surprising end up an alligator. They are, you know, when they get that big, again, as we talked about, they're opportunistic. They're going to take dogs. They're going to take hunting dogs, personal dogs. So we talk to people now about being so careful. And, just, you know, when you're walking around water, we've talked about that this year, and just reminding folks, because we had some incidents where people have taken their dogs down in the water and they come after the dog, and the person gets involved, and it never ends up good for the alligator or the person. So, but as far as the season this year, we've had several 12-foot and greater taken. You know, generally there's a 13-footer somewhere in there. I think I've seen one, but several 12-foot, 7, 12-foot, 9 gators have been taken. Very common. You know, everybody's after that quote-unquote trophy alligator. Huh. And what someone calls a trophy. So we have been very careful. Our biologists have. We don't keep records of the gators taken as far as just the number, not the lengths. We don't keep a record book on that because we're not trying to make this a trophy hunt. This is about control. Mm-hmm. It's about controlling a population. That's what it's about. It's about removing, you know, the – cutting that population down.
If you did not do that, if we did not have a gator season like this, What would it be like? What would happen?
Well, you'd see what we already see as far as Gators, you know, continuing expanding their range. As far as young Gators, when spring hits, it starts to get warm, and the mating season, a breeding season begins for Gators, you're going to see, you know, large males are going to push other males out, and that's when you see alligators in places you don't normally see them. In the early, you know, late spring, early summer, you'll see Gators crossing roads and in weird places, and a lot of times it's a male Gator that's been displaced by a bigger male that's territorial and pushing that male out. And so if you don't control this population, you're going to see, well, you know, that's on the inland basis. When you get to waterways, there's going to be more alligators in the waterways just because they are. They're going to be around water. That's their environment. There'll be more human-gator interaction. And we're seeing increased gator human-gator interaction already. Without the season, it would be even worse. So that's really our focus right now, is to just help to control the population. Try to minimize the human interaction with alligators as best we can. And we've actually, I know I talked about this one of the shows in the past, because of the increased interaction we've seen, we have added, I think they added 100 more tags to the draw this year or even last year to just try to get more opportunity to remove more gators. So it's a balancing act. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody knows the exact number of gators we have. We have a pretty good idea. But without that season, without the, again, the season's just one portion of the control method. The other method is our private lands program, which involves plantations up and down the coast, anybody that owns a private pond. A lot of these private communities can participate in the program. They have tags to remove the gators on their own without having to call us. And it's a program they're involved in. So there's kind of a multi-pronged approach. If you remember, we talked about that with Morgan, and she talked about that. There's several avenues by which we try to control alligator population. But, yeah, so October 14th is when that ends. So that's where we are with gators. You know, the big news right now as far as where we are in the year, as we drifted into October on the 1st, it is now legal to spread wheat for dove, topsoe wheat. So that's a big interest. And it's interesting, as long as this has been going on, people always ask me about it. I got to ask in the office, can they do that now? Yes, they can. So from October 1st through November 30th, people can now topsow wheat across fields to attract doves. Now, and you can hunt legally over that. Now, there are some stipulations to that, and one of the things we want to make sure we make clear is the ground has to be tilled up. You have to have, you know, it has to be soil to seed contact. Can't just be grass. Can't get a grass field, cut the grass real tight, and then start spreading wheat. You've got to till the ground. So, the words that we like to use is a well-prepared seedbed established by heavy tilling, which basically means there's a lot of dirt showing, not grass. So you've got to till the ground up. So evenly spread in our state, you know, up to 200 pounds per acre is what you can spread if you're using a spin spreader, which is a lot of wheat. And, you know, people have asked the questions in the past, well, after we till it, can we cul-de-pack it or can we pack the ground? Yes, you can. You can. Absolutely. You just have to make sure that anything you do is according to Clemson guidelines. And Clemson guidelines allows up to 200 pounds of wheat spread per acre. And when people ask, well, why does it matter what Clemson says? Well, because we're doing this based on an exemption by the Fish and Wildlife Service that allows you to plant according to your state agriculture department, or as far as your authority over agriculture. And Clemson is our guideline. And they have said that it is legal to topsow wheat, or excuse me, that it is a normal agricultural practice, mm-hmm, between October 1st and November 30th to topsow wheat on a well-prepared seedbed established with heavy tilling up to 200 pounds per acre. And that's why we could do that for doves. Now, dove season is going to end soon, so a lot of people may start baiting now, but you got to kind of keep in mind the timing of it all. And that's one of the considerations to think about. you know, our season ends October the 7th. And then the first season, the second season comes in before Thanksgiving, what we call a Thanksgiving season, November 11th. So if you top so a week now, you're hoping to get does for the 7th, which is pretty fast. Most people probably will concentrate on discing up the ground and top so a week, you know, maybe a week prior or 2 weeks prior to November 11th. So probably around the 1st of November, if you're really trying to time it right to have doves have time to find the wheat, it would be best to probably topsow around the 1st of November, end of October. Again, you can legally topsow wheat between October 1st and November 30th. Folks sometimes try to cheat and do it ahead of October 1st. If you've done that, that's considered baiting because it's not inside the dates that Clemson says you can do it. If you topsow November the 30th, that's legal and you can hunt after November 30th, or you just can't keep adding to it. The main thing that people try to do is sow an area and then sow it again, or disc it up again and sow it again. You can't do that. You can only plant it one time. We've gone through this before on the show, but I want to remind folks, if you disc an area up and you top sow wheat on it, that's done. You can't keep adding to it. But you can strip a field. In other words, you can disc some strips in a field, top sow wheat on those strips, come back later and disc new strips where it hadn't been disced, top sow wheat there. You can do it in stages. You just can't reseed an area or disc over an area and then reseed again. You can't do that. We're happy that we're able to do this now, but you just got to do it by the rules. I guess the difficult thing to me is, since this has happened, I haven't seen the flocks of doves come to the wheat like they used to when I was growing up. Our dove season landscape, if you will, has changed to really heavy sunflower fields that require a lot of work, proper planting, lots of chemical regime to control weeds, to keep a field clean. It's expensive, but it's very effective. I don't know of many dove fields that's open season when it comes in on Labor Day weekend that aren't shot over sunflowers, at least on some portion of the field. And sunflowers are kind of the go-to now. So it's interesting. I haven't seen, I've talked to other officers, haven't really seen that big result. We thought when you bring topsoiling back, it was going to make, you know, does going to start coming and people could just disc a field up, spread wheat, and it'd be a big dove field. And it just hadn't really worked out that way this as far as we've seen so far. Now, there's always areas that break that, and there's areas that you spread wheat, and the does come flocking to it, no doubt about it. That's great. But overall, I hadn't seen what I expected to have seen. I've done it myself in fields and not seen the production of does that I thought you might see, you know, come in reacting to that or coming to feed. So it just depends. And particularly as you get into the later part of the season, the Thanksgiving season, and certainly the December season from the 24th on through the 31st, that last season, you're getting what we call migratory birds. These are birds that move in from up north. And they come in big flocks. They fly differently. They fly in big flocks. They don't come in single ones and twos like they do in the early season when you're hunting local birds. They just come in big flocks. And they zoom in and zoom out. And if you don't get migratory birds, if you don't get a bunch of flocks of them, it can be a really quick, short hunt. A few birds do come in. They'll come in one big wide and then leave as soon as you shoot, you know, and the hunt's over. But that's the challenge of dove hunting. That's just kind of how it goes, and that's what we do. But again, just a reminder to folks that you can topsow for wheat now, and that really is wrapping the update up for dove hunting. You know, we are in the middle of deer season. Deer season's open all across the state now, pretty much wherever you want to, you know, in some form or fashion. There's the other zones have come into the primitive weapon seasons are open soon enough in the weeks to come. It'll be gun season across the state. Of course, you know, game zone 3 and 4, we've been in the gun season now since September 1st on 3 and 4. A lot of deer being taken. Haven't heard of really any big bucks to report about yet. We're entering that time. It's starting to get cool. And as we always say, when it starts getting cool, your bucks are going to start getting a little antsy. They're going to start showing up, start acting stupid, as most guys do when they start chasing women. They just act. They lose their mind. So deer are a good example of us. And when they lose their mind, they're not as smart. They come out in times they shouldn't come out. And that's when guys have an opportunity, and ladies, men and women, both have an opportunity to take a deer. And that's what we call the rut. And that's typically generally somewhere between October 15th and November 15th, roughly. But it can vary from year to year. It can be late into November and toward Thanksgiving. So I've seen nice bucks taken anywhere in October and November. So it just depends on the year. It depends on your location. But certainly I am enjoying the cool nights and cool mornings, and that typically gets deer season fired up for us.
Yeah.
So we look to see that coming up here very soon.
It is going to start turning cooler for sure, and that makes it much more pleasant. I got to believe to this point, out in the fields, it's been a little bit uncomfortable because it's still been warm and it's been maybe, I guess, still a little buggy out there. You're having to fight those things off?
Yeah, it's buggy, all right. So this is South Carolina where the state bird is the mosquito, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's heard that before, but I know just a small story, and I hate to tell on our chief of staff, but she went out and visited with our archaeologists in this past weekend, and she got just a bad case of red bugs. And that's something you just forget about, but red bugs are out there, and just like mosquitoes, yellow flies, you know, horse flies, they're all. I went to visit Hampton Plantation this past weekend. Great little one-day trip out to the home of Archibald Rutledge, the poet laureate of South Carolina, as it were, and the author of many good hunting stories that are home here to South Carolina. Came back to his plantation in the 20s and redid the plantation, wrote some great books, Plantation Game Trails, Woods and Wild Things. I remember some good books that I've read in my youth and have copies of today that I enjoy looking back at some of the stories that he wrote a lot about waterfowl hunting on the coast, because Hampton Plantation at one time they owned, and still do now, but at the time they had active rice fields between the south and north Santee River. Huge area of waterfowl hunting. So great stories, good deer hunting stories, good turkey hunting stories. So it was really fun to go down there, but I was with someone. We were walking in the gardens behind Hampton Plantation. The mosquitoes were biting. And I was like, well, I can take mosquitoes, but the yellow flies are hard to stand. And if you go over to Santee Coastal Reserve right across the road, you can get inundated with yellow flies and mosquitoes. And the yellow flies hurt. They just do. But I don't know how people lived back when they lived in the day when they didn't have air conditioning in the house. And we've gotten really soft. And you go out there and how they would work in those fields with all those mosquitoes and the yellow flies, it's hard to imagine. But did enjoy that trip. But talking about, you know, mosquitoes, bugs, red bugs, all those things, you know, one of the little known hunters know this, but you can forget. And the first time I go, I'll probably forget to take my thermocell. If you don't take that thermocell with you, it's going to be a short night if you get out quick, or you're going to either be miserable sitting there getting eaten up. But a thermocell is a great item that doesn't tend to scare deer off. And they've become very popular today. They come in little camouflage colors. Not that it matters, because you're not going to have them where they can see it anyway. But you can put them in your pocket, you know, put them up and stand with you. And they are great for yellow flies, mosquitoes, the whole nine yards, and even no-sims. They work really well for those. The no-sims are probably the hidden agenda on the coast that everybody fears the most. They're just a vicious little creature to be as small as they are, like a flea. So yes, bugs are a big deal. Preparing for that. Cool weather does slow it down, but if you're in anywhere around pine woods that have lots of pine straw and wet areas, you're going to have mosquitoes. So think about that.
You're telling me that coating yourself with deep woods off, for example, is not going to be the remedy.
Oh yeah, it's a great remedy, but nothing's going to come near you. A deer can smell out a mile away.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. All right, so let's go. I forgot, Phil. I have to constantly think about What does Phil not know? Let's go over this.
Everything. Phil not knows everything.
So if, no, you have been schooled over the last 6 years.
True.
You're doing great. But here's
I'm
another,
getting there.
Here's another opportunity. Here's another opportunity.
Okay.
So deer have three really great things that aid them against predators, including us.
Mm.
They got great eyesight for the most part. But the number one thing they got is their nose. They can see, they can smell better than any, it's incredible how they can smell.
Mm-hmm.
And the wind can just whip one time and turn toward them, and that doe's going to alert or buck, and they're going to turn tail and run. And they may be 100 yards off or more. It's amazing how they can smell. They do have really good hearing for the most part. But wind and other things can mask, you know, sounds, and typically that can make deer real skittish in the woods. I've seen deer get scared of their, when they step on a stick and break it. I've seen a deer jump just from that.
Yeah.
Their eyesight is really good, but it is in a black and white setting. So when I say black and white, they're colorblind. So they can see movement when they really focus, but they're not really good. If you use camouflage and you don't move, you can hide from a deer. But if they're focused, when that doe turns those ears out, and I call it radar cuts on them, and they'll do a little move, they like to fool you, they'll take the head and go down. And they'll be looking up the whole time, like they're eating, but they're not. And their ears are up, and they'll sit the head down, put it up, put it down, put it up, put it down. And they're waiting for you to get fooled by that and make a move. And if you do, off they go.
Mm-hmm.
But smell is number one. So no deep woods off. Can't have that. Your thermocell does have somewhat of a smell, but typically deer aren't as bothered by that. But deet, yeah, they're gone.
How about
you'll never
that?
See a deer if you do that.
Really?
Now, deet is fine when you're turkey hunting.
Yeah.
Turkey hunting, turkeys can't smell, so you're great. But a deer, not so much. That's a bad idea.
Let me ask you, too, while we're talking about hunting season, what's going on out there with the wild hog situation?
All right, so wild hogs are continually, the feral hogs, as we call them, are continually a problem in our state. They will continue to be because they just can have up to 2 and 3 litters in a year. You know, up to 8 to 10 at a time as far as that. And it's hard to keep up with that. Rains, floods can control hogs and kill them back a little bit. But we are hog problems here to stay. People typically aren't hog hunting this time of year. They will shoot hogs while they're deer hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going on. You know, people are encouraged to take those hogs, get them processed. They make good barbecue. They make some good sausage out of a wild hog. It's not, very good, very tasty.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, throughout the year, we have that season of the night hunting ability, of the night hunting season for hogs, specifically for hogs, coyotes, and armadillos. I always love how armadillos got thrown in there.
Yeah.
But you can do the night hunting registration, where you register your property online, list the shooters that are going to be there, and you can shoot hogs, coyotes, and armadillos year-round at night to help us control our coyote and our hog populations. Again, you know, when you talk about hogs and we talk about night hunting, we got to talk about coyotes, and coyotes are a huge problem. Our deer population seems to have learned their way around coyotes to a degree. Coyotes do still have an effect on our population by attacking young fawns, but deer have adapted, as they always do, and they're not having as big an effect as they used to. However, our department, as always, is encouraging hunters to take coyotes wherever they see them. They are not a natural part of our landscape, neither are hogs. So if you're deer hunting, you see a hog or a coyote, we encourage you to remove that animal because they're not part of our natural environment. So we need to take as many as we can to help our deer herds out.
Well, it's a big time in South Carolina with the sports season and the hunting season's going on, and good time to get outdoors as the temperature drops. And, Major, we appreciate it as always. Great stuff. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Enjoy it, sir. See you in 2 weeks.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much. Major Billy Downer with his visit with us here on Sports Talk. Appreciate it very much. Hope you learned something. I certainly did. And thank you, Pat. Everybody have a great night. See you tomorrow.